one standing in the welfare line, or off the freeway with a hungry sign. Someone's stressing about to lose their mind. I gotta be thankful.
You're listening to The Drew Marshall Show, Canada's most listened to spiritual talkback program.
All right, Mr. Daryl McWaters, tell me who's singing this song. Do you know who it is? It's Mr. Johnny Lang. Good guess.
Really?
Mr. Johnny Lang.
I would have got it wrong.
And Michael McDonald doing his usual drive-by, you know, what's it called? Duet? Drive-by duet.
Such a long way to go.
First time I heard about Johnny Lang was from this young lady, actually. She sent me this CD. A big fan of Johnny Lang. And I'm a big fan of this young lady. Miss Ken, what is it? I got to read this here.
Hold Candy?
On. Candace Cameron Bure, I think is how we say the name. She's an actress. She acts.
I'm aware of that.
And
yes.
And she shops. That's all
really?
She does. What? Is that not the best intro you've ever had?
Really? That's the best you could come up with?
Hello, Candace. How are you today, young lady?
I am quite well, Drew.
Are you, you sound like you're walking. Are you out of breath?
No, I am. I'm on a golf course right now, so I am walking, and I was trying to get away from noise for you, so it wouldn't sound terrible on the radio, because I'm thinking of you.
Thank you. Thank you.
And all your listeners.
Thank you. All six of my listeners.
And all six of your listeners.
So you are in Canada, is that right? Well, I guess it's part of Canada. It's a little island off the coast of Canada.
Yes, this little island called Victoria. That's pretty gorgeous.
It's very gorgeous, and it's also you might have picked up on this because you got the whole you're super spiritual. It's the occult center of Canada. Did you know that?
I didn't. The occult center.
Yep.
I heard that our hotel was kind of haunted.
Okay. Well, maybe there's a connection. I don't know. Do you get those vibes? Do you ever get, because, you know, you're pretty, you and Jesus are tight. Do you get the vibes, of the bad vibes of places and stuff?
I do sometimes, yeah.
Do you?
I haven't gotten bad vibes here at all, though.
No. How about when you're on my show? Do you ever get bad vibes when you're on my show?
Only when I'm talking to you.
Stop it.
Talking to anyone else
Stop
on
it.
Your show.
Stop it.
Fantastic.
Stop it. Tell us about this golf classic for Russ Courtnell's charity.
Yeah, this is it's a huge event. It's been an amazing weekend, and we had the big benefit dinner last night, and they raised over $300,000, and they raised close to $100,000 the day before on the radio. So it's all for the Archie Courtnell Center, which is a mental health institute in here in Victoria, because the Courtnell's dad had committed suicide when they were young boys, and so they've dedicated their lives to helping fund mental health illness.
Fantastic.
And so, yeah, it really is fantastic. They put on a great event and a great cause, obviously, and the community's really come out and just showed their support. So we're very happy to be here and supporting the Courtnells.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but was Russ the first one eliminated in Battle of the Blades?
Yes, he was.
So you and Val felt so guilty about winning, Val winning the whole thing with Kat, that you are now supporting his charity. You came to the golf tournament and said, good for you.
We never feel guilty about winning.
Winning. Man.
But it was a huge bummer because Russ and Val are pretty tight, so he was so bummed when Russ was the first to go.
I got to say, from a viewer's point of view, Russ's sweat pores were working overtime.
They were. But he came back on that one, the Halloween episode, like the special episode, and he had a great performance.
Good.
He really did.
Good for him. Now, of course, everyone's highlight for Battle of the Blades was the fact that your husband, Val? Val?
Won?
I can't remember. Your husband won the whole stinking thing. His partner, Ekaterina, I can never pronounce her last name.
Gordieva.
Exactly. Dropped the trophy on the ice and it smashed.
Yes, she did. But it really wasn't her fault. It was Jeremy Roenick's fault, because he handed her the trophy with the base attached to it, which he was not supposed to give her the base. He was just supposed to give her the trophy. So she grabbed it by the base and off it went.
Roenick, what a meathead.
I always blame all sorts of stuff on Jeremy Roenick.
I blame Jeremy Roenick for many of my crises of faith. I don't know. Anyway. Okay, so you win the whole thing. $50,000 goes to your favorite charity, which you decided was going to be Compassion. And and I understand that Compassion said, thank you very much, and we would like to take you on a trip to Hawaii, was it?
Close.
Oh.
The Dominican Republic.
Right, right. And is this the first family trip to, like, some sort of, you know, desolate area? It's not fair to say. Are we allowed to say third world? Is that, because that's not even politically correct anymore, third world. There's some other new
hippie. Is it not?
No, there's some other phrase. What is it, Daryl? You're a hippie.
I don't know.
No?
I'm not a hippie.
I don't know. I still use that phrase. I didn't know it was politically incorrect.
Oh, I don't know. Anyway.
Can we call things what it is today?
Okay. All right. Oh, you know who you would have loved? You would have loved our earlier guest, Victoria Jackson. Do you know Victoria?
I do know Victoria.
She said that you and her have met at a few Jesus functions.
Yeah, well, we went to the same church for quite a while in Florida.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Okay, she was on our show singing the song, her latest hit, There's a Communist in the White House.
Oh, that's nice.
Anyway, back.
I'm staying away from that.
Yeah. Okay. Back to Compassion. What did you experience? Because this is the first trip that your whole family, all three kids, experienced poverty as a family. What was that like?
Yes, it was really incredible. I was a little bit nervous because I realized I had very high expectations about my kids and what they were going to feel. And I realized when we were starting to go there, I need to lower my expectations because I don't want to be so disappointed if my kids just want to play their Nintendo DS the whole time and don't get it. So I did lower my expectations, but I have to tell you, it was so eye-opening for them. Val and I have seen poverty at its worst before, so it wasn't a new thing, but, man, your heart can never get used to it. It just... I mean, I was in tears for half the trip because it's just so emotionally overwhelming to see the conditions in which people, so many people in the world live in. And then to experience it with my kids, they were all affected by it very differently and kind of handled it differently. Lev, who's my real sensitive son, he was pretty overwhelmed the first day, and he, about halfway through, was like, I just don't feel good. He was like, my whole body, I just kind of feel sick, and I need to just sit on the bus and kind of not do everything. And he couldn't understand why he was overwhelmed.
Hmm.
And he kind of soaked it in. Natasha hung with us. She was, you know, a few times felt a little, I guess I keep saying the word overwhelmed, but, you know, she was, you know, it's just eye-opening for her, but we made her hang in there because she's the oldest. She's almost 13 years old, and we said, you need to see it all. You can't bail on us. And then Max,
yes,
who's very, very social, he was so awesome because there was no barrier. There was no difference between him and any of the other kids or where they lived or what they were eating. Or he was just like, hey, want to see my camera? Want to take a picture? Want to see my iPhone? Let's play video games. And he just went around. He hung out with everyone. And it was great. It was really, really great. But they all had very interesting and very heartfelt things to say towards the end of the trip, which it all boiled down to, well, I guess we kind of complain a lot over the things that, you know, we don't have or that we want more, and we kind of see that we shouldn't probably do that because they don't really have anything. So.
Yeah, you know,
it was good. As a mom, I was happy.
I remember taking my daughter, Jessie, when she was 13, down to Nicaragua. And it was my hope that after we hung out with the children rummaging through the garbage dumps, you know, and all the stuff that we would see, et cetera, that we would come home and she would look deeply into my eyes and she would say, Father, forgive me for being so materialistic and so into straightening irons and boys and music, and I shall turn my life around. Now, that didn't really happen.
Right.
But I think it does plant seeds. I think, you know, I always say, well, there's a couple things I always say in regards to this topic. One, every Jesus person should have a sponsor kid with some organization. Would you agree with that?
I agree. I absolutely 100% agree.
Right. And then two, every person should contact their child sponsorship organization, whether it's World Vision or Compassion or whatever the other ones are, and ask them about exposure tours, because I think it's really important that we all get out of North America and see what the rest of the world is like, especially in the squalor that these people are living in, and yet they have such pride in their squalor. You know, I remember some lady sweeping her dirt floor and so excited about us coming over, and, you know, we're feeling all sort of sad and country music for them, and they're right. Just like thrilled to have us come, and they're, you know, just, yeah, it's a different headspace.
It really is, and I learned so much. We sponsored Compassion Kids for 7 years, and it's the first trip I've been with them, and wow, I can just say wow about the organization. I already thought they were a great organization, but now having traveled and seeing exactly what they do, I'm in love with this organization because they work through the church. I mean, and that's it. And that's the difference in this organization. So they really rally the people within the church that are working and doing the jobs.
You mean the local church, the local, like wherever the local
church,
yeah.
Sorry, the local church, right. Yes. And it's not government funded. The government has nothing to do with this. It's all, right, all through the local church. So it's the indigenous people there with the country that are working and helping you know, the needy and the poor. But yes, we went there, and they were so, so proud to have us there. And we had several home visits, and we were in little 10x10 tin. I mean, they were their homes, but they were just kind of wooden and pieces of like sheet tin, just kind of that made a square with some sheets and a little roof on top. And but man, they kept them clean, and they were so thankful and happy we were there. And you have to go on one of those trips to really feel it, because like I said, sponsoring for 7 years, but now actually going and traveling and seeing those places and then seeing what the organization does and just how much they help. And one of the biggest things I took away from the whole trip was how important my contact is, my relationship is with the sponsored children.
I'm so glad you brought that up.
That is what they all talked about. The kids that are older that have been sponsored, they say, what keeps us going? We're thankful for the church that Compassion works with and that they supply our daily needs and teach us things. But the thing that keeps us motivated and encouraged and going and striving for a better life is the encouragement from our sponsors and the letters that we receive from them. And that, hearing it from them, I mean, I will never be the same in my letter writing again. Because I'll be very honest. It's like they write me a letter, a quarterly letter, I'll write them back. I'll send the occasional postcard. And now talking with them and seeing how important it is to them, I'm like, oh, I'm all over that. I had no idea.
And the thing that I think most people need to understand in regards to keeping in touch with your sponsor child is you can email them, and they will sort of transcribe. Like, it's not as though you have to handwrite it, lick the thing, put the stamp, and go to the post office, you know, like we used to do back when we were young. And you can go to the Compassion website, fill in your details about the kid's sponsor number or whatever, and send an email, and they'll take care of it.
Right. Yeah, which makes it a lot easier to keep in contact more often. And I still like to write some hand letters, because my kids will write something or draw pictures, and
right.
Or I like to send them Christmas cards and photos. So you can do both. They make it very easy for you.
Speaking of Christmas cards, is it true that your children left a letter, a little note for Santa Claus?
Yes, they did.
Can you remember what the note said? Because this is cute, folks. This is cute.
I'm trying to remember. I think if you look on my Facebook page, like my Facebook my Facebook fan page, it's still posted there. But I believe it said something like, Dear Santa Claus, I hope that you know the true meaning of Christmas is all about Jesus and that Jesus was born today. But we'd really like extra presents.
Yep, that was it. Oh, that's funny. That is cute. I just had a good friend of mine. Her name is Mari. She sent me a text, and she said, we're calling them developing countries. You can't call them third world. Developing countries. Is that okay? Is that better?
Whatever is okay, you tell me. I get tired of having to have to choose the right, proper words now.
I know.
Can we all get over ourselves?
Can't we just move on? Okay,
can't
so
we all get along?
The 50 grand, seriously, where did it go? You won 50 grand, Battle of the Blades, your big buff husband throwing the little tiny Russian girl around won $50,000. What did it go to?
It went to a city in the Dominican called Moca, and it specifically went to one of the compassion programs called the Child Survival Program, which is a program that teaches and provides for up to 2 years pregnant women and then their child up to a year old, and teaches them how to care for their bodies and their babies, because a lot of the children end up dying because the moms don't know how to clean them, how to feed them, and even take care of themselves while they're pregnant. So, and then also there's a mentor that goes twice a week to spend time with this new mom to help her, you know, understand what she's going through in the development of her child. It's an incredible program. Many lives have been saved from the program. And so we got to fund this particular project in Moca for 2 years.
Fantastic.
With that $50,000. Yes, it's about 70 moms with their babies.
Fantastic. That's good. Well, look, I know you didn't have much to do with this yourself aside from, you know, having sponsored a child for many, many years with Compassion. I know it was your husband that did all the hard work in winning the $50,000.
Does cheerleading not mean anything?
No.
Does taking care of the kids for 4 months while your husband's gone mean anything? Does flying back and forth from Toronto to LA while you're working?
Yeah, having to put up with having to put up with some 6'4" creepy Canadian guy sitting near you at the opening thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I had nothing to do with it.
No, you had nothing to do with it. But listen, thank you for having the heart that you do, and thank you for partnering with Compassion. I got a little soft spot for those guys. I like them. I like them a lot. I just want to ask about Make It or Break It. Have we been picked up for another season yet? Do we know anything?
We still don't know.
What the?
We don't know. We're waiting. I know. Okay. What's up with those people at the network?
I don't know. A lot of shuffling going around these days in that scene, you know, including Oprah firing her fourth CEO and making herself CEO of OWN.
That would happen. I don't even pick up on the news.
Yeah, you need to stay with it. If you need any insider advice in Hollywood, give me a call. Okay, Candace?
Okay, thanks, Drew Marshall.
Anyway, you're in the middle of this golf tournament.
Next on Hollywood Coast.
Please give Val a big, warm, affectionate man hug from me, please.
Drew gives you a big, warm, affectionate man hug. The look on his face was quite scared.
And thanks, Candace. I really appreciate your time. Good to us.
Thanks for letting me share a story about Compassion.
All right. You take care.
I appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Candace Cameron Bure on The Drew Marshall Show. You might remember her from such shows as Full House, ladies and gentlemen, where she played DJ, older sister. She's now in a new series, Make It or Break It. I think it's in its third season, doing quite well. And she's been in a number of family-type movies. Family movies.
For families.
For families. The Department of Redundancy Department, as Tim always likes to say. Short break on the show. We're almost out of time, which is a good thing for many of you.